Thank you, Brother Sanford. Appreciate the song. Bless you, Sister LaVon. Let's remember her request. God bless you, Sister Roark. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. God bless.
She said, Daddy, please, don't forget to pray for my boys.
Bless you, Sister Tammy. Appreciate all the testimonies. I've got some scripture that I'd like to share with you this morning from the fifth chapter of 1 Peter. If you would like to turn there in your Bibles, then turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, and I want to begin reading with verse 1, and I'm going to read about the first 11 verses of 1 Peter chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Again, that's reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 for a scripture text this morning. The title of my message today is Give It to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Last Sunday, after our morning service, Sunday afternoon, I had the thought today that I would bring a message on motherhood, this being Mother's Day. But the Lord directed my heart otherwise, and I want to follow the Lord's lead today. And so I would like to ask you to think about that as a title and as a thought. Give it to the Lord. And I want to ask today for you to, I want to ask for you to ask yourself the question, in my Christian life, in my Christian walk, have I learned to truly trust in the Lord? Now, I want you to think about that. You may answer yourself hastily within yourself. You may give a quick answer and you may say, well, sure, preacher, I trust in the Lord. But I want you to really ponder that question in your hearts. In my Christian life, have I learned to truly trust in the Lord? If you have thought about that, or if, as I said, if you have answered somewhat hastily yes, then I have some other questions that I would like to put before you. I would like to ask you, do you worry about things? Are you anxious about things? Do you have anxiety because you fret over things? Do you face situations and wonder within yourself and ask yourself, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get past this? And, you know, if those things are prevalent in your life, then no matter what you may think the answer is, the fact is that you really haven't learned to trust in the Lord. Because I believe it's pretty obvious, and you know it's difficult not to worry, isn't it? But I believe it's pretty obvious that when you are worried about something or that you're anxious about something, that you haven't given it to the Lord. You know, and I'm sure that many of you have experienced this. I know that I have experienced this in my life. There's a great peace and there's a great calm in your soul when you reach the point where you are truly able to give something over to the Lord and just place it in His hands. And I want us to look at a few of these scriptures again, where the Apostle Peter wrote unto us about humility. We ought to be clothed with humility. You know, I believe humility is something that is often misunderstood. Sometimes we may think of someone that just speaks with a soft voice, or someone that appears to be meek in their mannerisms. Sometimes that may be as far as our thoughts of humility go. I'm going to tell you that I can show you places in the scriptures where Jesus Christ spoke very boldly to people, but yet He was doing it with great humility. Humility doesn't always mean being quiet. Sometimes people are very boisterous about what they're wanting to say, yet they're very humble in what they're saying. And so humility covers a broad spectrum. But we are, as we read here in these verses, we as the people of God ought to be clothed with humility. And one thing that will happen in our lives, if we are in fact clothed with humility, it will produce in us turning things over to the Lord. That's all part of being humble. The Bible said here and told us in this writing that God resists the proud. The Bible tells me that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. If your spirit is lifted up, if pride has overtaken your spirit, then you better get ready to fall, because that's exactly what it's going to bring about. Pride is, you know, oftentimes I also think that we have the wrong idea about pride. Pride is not something to be proud of. Pride is something that can hinder our relationship and does hinder our relationship with the Lord, because the Lord loves them who are of a humble spirit and a humble demeanor. And so we are to be clothed with humility. But Peter went on and wrote, he said, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God. And I want you to really listen for a moment here to what this scripture says. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and that's what we are instructed to do. And in the latter part of this verse, he gives us the reason as to why we should do it. And that is that he may exalt you in due time. You see, Peter wrote in this verse, and he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God for the purpose of God exalting you in due time. And I'm going to get back to that here in a moment, but that's very important. Listen, friends, I have in my experience as a preacher and as a pastor through the years, I have encountered some that just seem to worry and worry and worry about everything that comes up against them in life. You know, the Bible tells me that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God. You know, and that goes for those who are lost and those who are saved as well. I'm going to say today, if you're here and you're lost, that until your heart fully trusts in the Lord for salvation, you will never be saved. Until you can truly reach out to God and cling to God and rely upon Him and place the eternal welfare of your immortal soul into God's hands and give it over to God to save you, until that happens in your heart, you will never find salvation. But in our Christian life, in our walk with God, it is impossible for us as His people to please Him without faith. That never, you know, that concept is the same whether you are lost or whether you are saved. If you are not exercising faith in God in your everyday life, then your walk with the Lord will never please Him. God will never be satisfied with us when we are anxious about things, when we are just worried to death about things, when we question how we will possibly get through this or how this situation will possibly be resolved, then we are lacking faith. And that's the simple answer to it. We just lack faith and we lack trust in God, and we hold on to things and we try to work them out ourselves, when all the time the proper solution is to just give things over into the hand of God and let God work in our lives and let God perform the miracles in our lives. Because I believe it's already been mentioned here this morning in testimony. If I'm not mistaken, Sister Davison made this statement. She said, we can't do anything by ourselves. And I say amen to that. It amazes me how much sorrow, how much trouble. I'll tell you what, we live, pardon the expression, we seem to be living in a stressed out society. I mean, there are people that their nerves are wound as tight as a banjo string and they're just about to snap because they have all sorts of anxiety and worry. And I'm talking about these things, friend, even existing among the Lord's church and among the people of God, just, you know, concerned with everything in the world as to how things are going to work out. And, you know, we as the people of God, we shouldn't live like that. I mean, the truth is we shouldn't live like that, because it just does not display faith and trust in the Lord. I had this thought last night when I studied these scriptures that I had never had before. I'd always thought about the fact that we are invited to cast our care upon the Lord because he cares for us. I had just always thought about that in a positive sense. You know, something that's very comforting for you and I when we think about that God is always there for us and that God can handle any situation that comes before us. May we be like the psalmist. May we have the attitude that the psalmist had when he wrote what we find recorded in the 46th Psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Be still and know that I am God. And I jumped ahead there a few verses, but that's where it concludes. Be still and know that I am God. What is God to us? A very present help in trouble. What can we look forward to because that we know that? We can look forward to not having to fear. Think about what the psalmist said there. Therefore will not we fear though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Listen, for those who are saved, if this earth begins to rumble today, and listen, God may rise up today and shake the earth. He's going to one of these days, isn't he? He's going to rise up one day and shake terribly this earth and bring destruction upon it. But if this earth begins to rumble today, if all of the elements today are thrown out of their natural place and the world around us begins to crumble today, if you're saved, you don't have anything to fear. Nothing at all. We don't have to fear even if the earth is removed today. But when I thought about that, how that we are invited to cast our care upon him, and I began to study about this last night, and I began to realize that there was something there within what Peter wrote, and that is that if I don't do that, when things are facing me, if I don't cast my care upon the Lord, if I carry those things around and try to work them out myself. You know, friends, listen, I still say that among us today as the children of God, one of our greatest setbacks is our own independence. We're not supposed to be dependent upon ourselves. We are supposed to be dependent upon God. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, you'll find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 5, where Paul said, not as that we are sufficient of ourselves as to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And that's exactly where our dependence ought to be. God wants us to depend upon him and not upon ourselves. And the problem that we have so oftentimes, and the reason I believe that we get in his way, is because we want to be independent. Jesus taught his disciples a great truth before he left them. He said, without me, you can do nothing. You know, every breath that you and I have taken since this service started today came from God. Every one of them. We can't do anything without God. Let me tell you something. We can't even exist without God. The Bible says that it's in him that we live and we move and we have our being. We don't exist outside of God. We are nothing without God, and we can do nothing without God. And I believe when Jesus spoke that to his disciples, that's exactly what he meant. Without me, you cannot accomplish anything. Listen, friends, if you've ever accomplished anything in your life, and I know that the human family has a tendency to want to boast and brag of the things that they do. But if you've ever accomplished anything in your life, you better give God the honor and the glory, because without him, we can't do anything good. Without God, man is a mess. Man's a mess. You know, people today, they want to think, well, there's good in all of us. It's not what the Bible teaches, is it? The Bible tells me that there's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeks after God. There's not one of us on our own that seek after God. That's one of the great problems that I have with the false evangelism that we see so much in the world today, because people believe that they can come to God on their own. Listen, without God intervening in a person's heart, they will never come to God. Without God drawing them, they will never come to him. It's not the nature of a person that's lost and sinful to approach unto a God that's holy and without sin. That's just not in our nature. Without God producing a radical change within us, we would never come to God, because there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not you, not me, not anybody. Boy, aren't you glad for grace? Aren't you thankful for God's grace? We wouldn't have any relationship with God without it. I'm glad today that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven. I'm thankful that God counted me faithful and put me into the ministry, but I know that none of those things would exist without God's undeserved, unmerited favor. I wouldn't be able to claim any of those things. And so I thought about, I'm having trouble getting to my thought here. I thought about how that we have been invited to cast our cares upon the Lord because he cares for us. Listen, I've had great joy in my ministry being able to tell people this. I mean, it blesses me to be able to convey this to people. If you got a problem today, if you're here today and there's something that's vexing your life, I want you to know something today, friends. God can handle it. God can take care of it. There's not a problem that you have. There's not a trial that you face. There's not anything that you will ever go through in this life that God is not sufficient to take care of. God has sufficient grace for every trial that we may ever face. Thank God that he is that type of God. He's that powerful. He's that merciful. I want to share this with you. And I want to tell you this just for the purpose of exalting the Lord and honoring the Lord today. I remember when my dad, my earthly father, was dying. He had cancer, and when he began to die, the last few days of his life, when he began to die, we took him to the hospital on Saturday evening. I was pastoring at the time, and we took him into the hospital on Saturday evening, and I was determined just to stay. I stayed up all night, Saturday night, by him, Most of that night I spent by his bedside. I stayed up the whole night. The next morning, of course, my other siblings were there. The next morning I went to the church where I pastored. I delivered the morning's sermon. I went back to the hospital, and I spent the whole rest of that Sunday and stayed up the whole Sunday night and had not had any sleep for many hours, for a couple of days, hadn't slept at all. And that next Monday morning, I was standing next to his bed when he drew his last breath and left the world. And I, after a while, after things were taken care of, I went home, and I mean, I was so emotionally drained. I was so spiritually drained. I was so physically drained that I got down and I began to pray to God, and I began to call upon God, and I confessed to him, and I told him, I said, "Lord, I'm just not sufficient for these things. I need some help." And I'll tell you what, it was like I could just feel a big pair of hands picking me up and lifting me up. And I mean, I could feel the strength that God was granting to me to make it through that. Friends, listen, you'll never convince me. Nobody will ever convince me that God is not real and that he doesn't do real things in our lives. I know I have felt his power to the point that I'll never, at least I hope that I never deny God. He's real. I know when he saved me. I know how real it was when he saved me. I know how real it was when he called me to preach. God is so real in my life. And I know for many of you, he's real in yours. And God can help us through no matter what we face. He can be there. God's always got the answer, doesn't he? Always. I mean, every time you go to him and really seek him and really ask help of God, God has always got the answer, doesn't he? You'll never catch God off guard. You'll never stump him. Paul asked the question, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor?" Let me tell you something. God has never come to me one time and said, "Jerry, I need you to counsel me on how to do something." God has never done that. He doesn't need my counsel. But I'm telling you, every time I go to him, he's got the answer. God has always got the escape. He's always there to help. And so I realize in these verses that, you know what? If I carry things around in me, if I worry about them, if I try to figure out how to solve them by myself, you know what I'm doing? I'm sinning against God. Not only am I not taking him up on his invitation that he has given me to cast my care upon him, but I believe I'm sinning against God. And James wrote in James chapter 4, verse 17, he told us that to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And if you and I, as God's people, if we know that we should be giving things over to the Lord, turning things over to God, and we're not doing it, we're cheating God out of the opportunities to work the miracles in our lives that he wants to work. That's exactly what we're doing. And I believe that's what Peter told us, and I believe that very thought is underlying in these scriptures. See, there was a reason that God wanted us to humble ourselves under his hand, and that is that he may exalt us in due time. God wants to work in our lives. He wants to show his power in our lives. He wants to glorify himself in our lives. And if we are harboring things and not giving them over to God, then we're going to hinder that, because God is not going to force us to do it. He wants us to come to Him of our own will and give things over to the Lord. Sometimes I think about Saul and the army of Israel. They're just scared to death about what they were going to do about Goliath. Scared to death. And then here's this young shepherd boy that walks up and he basically says, well, let's just let God handle him. That's what it comes down to, isn't it? Let's just let God take care of him. God can subdue him. Tell you what, he can subdue. God can conquer your Goliath. He can conquer him. If you'll give your cares to the Lord and really trust Him, God can do anything but fail. Anything but fail. The Bible says that God cannot lie. It says that God cannot be tempted with evil. But it doesn't mean that God lacks ability in anything. Those things are just not consistent with His nature. And so He won't do them. God doesn't lack ability in any way. He's all powerful, all knowing, and ever present in our lives. The next time that you're tempted to worry over something, to fret over something, because you know what? You know what the ironic part of it is, truly? Now, if you tell me that you've never done this, all I can say is you're a lot better than I am. You've been a lot more successful at it than I am if you tell me you've never done this. I believe probably every one of us here has been guilty of this very thing. But you know what the irony of it all is? Is that you can worry yourself to death. I mean, you can make yourself sick with anxiety and with worry. And when all of it is done, the situation hasn't changed at all, has it? The problem's still there. The problem's still the same. Friends, you cannot worry things away, but you can pray them away. You can turn to God and trust Him, and prayer changes things. It changes things. So humble yourselves under His mighty hand that He may lift you up, and cast your care upon Him because He cares for you. I want to say this again. If you're here today and you're lost, there's a God full of compassion, full of mercy, saving grace, and He invites the whole world, look unto Me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. But you won't ever get it by trying to accept Him. I'll tell you what, just to be honest with you, I don't know where anybody ever got that idea. I mean, think about it. What right would a wretched sinner have to accept a holy God? Your only hope is to plead for His mercy that He may accept you. Because God does the saving. But He invites you to come to His throne of grace and seek Him for eternal life. If you trust Him, I mean if you fully trust Him, He'll save you. If you never do, you'll die without God. Brother Sanford, would you lead a hymn for us, please? I'd like to ask the congregation to stand.